This morning's scripture reading will come from the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5, 20 and 21. 2 Corinthians 5, 20 and 21. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
We have 64 today in attendance. Thanks for coming out to see me preach today. There's nothing about a potluck going on. I'm glad you're here today. I know most of you would be here even if there wasn't food. I get tickled. Archie gets so excited about German food. I love that. He's one of the few people in the world that gets tickled by German food. I went to Schmidt's Thursday night, though, so that counts. But, all right. All right, good deal. And, you know, since we are having a potluck today and you don't have any power, you got a place to hang around for a while, so there you go. All right, I want to let everybody know we are close to publishing the Summer Adult Series topics. The theme this year is going to be Days of Thunder, and it's not about Tom Cruise and race cars. So we're going to look at significant days in scriptures. I have 11 of my 13 speakers lined up, so be thinking about that, and we'll get out there and invite our friends and family and anybody else who will come in. If you would, this morning, turn with me over to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness. From then on, forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of armies will accomplish this. We're having our series on Sunday mornings talking about being ambassadors for Christ. And I wanted to speak to you this morning about how we as ambassadors handle hostile regimes. You know, in our country, we have a history of having to deal with hostile regimes. And we have ambassadors that go all over the planet to every country, and they're there for a reason. They play a crucial role in managing relationships with hostile regimes. We live in a world that can be hostile to Christ. So this is the connection I want you to understand this morning. We as ambassadors here are part of the kingdom of Christ. And we are ambassadors of that kingdom. And we live in a world that is hostile towards Christ and towards that kingdom. But we as ambassadors play a crucial role in managing those relationships. Ambassadors engage in diplomatic negotiations. They foster trust. They work to resolve conflicts peacefully. Ambassadors are tasked with advancing their nation's interest abroad. They promote trade. They promote investment. They promote cultural exchanges. Those ambassadors negotiate treaties that benefit their country and ensure that the host country also sees advantages in those arrangements. Now, before you think I'm giving you a book report on ambassadors, these are things that we do as ambassadors for Christ. We go and we represent the kingdom to others. We're tasked with advancing the kingdom of God. We're tasked with advancing the idea that the treasures of heaven are more than the treasures of earth. That's promoting trade and investment. We promote cultural exchanges, if you will. Tell me what religion has changed the culture of the world more than the cause of Christ. We have liberty for women. We have freedom. We've done away with slavery for the most part. All these things have happened because of Christian ethics. So we do these things. We negotiate treaties that benefit our country and the country, the host country. Tell me, when we go and we talk to somebody about the Lord, does it benefit the kingdom to have a new brother or sister? I think it does. They bring their talents and their abilities. And how many times have we seen in Scripture where that new brother or sister goes and tells the good news to all their family, and they come and they worship the Lord and are saved through baptism? How many times have we seen that that not only benefits the kingdom, but it benefits those new Christians? Being an ambassador is an important thing. And so when we read in 2 Corinthians 5:20 that we are ambassadors for Christ, it's something that we should take responsibly into our hearts and our minds. It's something that we should strive to do the best that we can. In times of crisis, ambassadors are critical in ensuring their home country's interests are protected. We, as ambassadors, are critical in making sure that the gospel is preached. It's critical for us to stand up for the Lord in whatever situation that we're in. And we've seen times when it's been difficult to be Christians. That's when we need to be the best ambassadors, most steadfast ones that we can be. Ambassadors serve as the eyes and ears of their home governments, providing regular reports on political, economic, and social developments. Do you know what's going on in your community? Are you talking to others in the church about that? How can the church be effective in the community that we're planted in? How can the church understand what's going on around it? How can the church be effective in serving in that community? Ambassadors are not just diplomats. They are symbols of their nation's dignity and respect. They conduct both in official and social settings the business of the country, and they reflect the values and cultures of their homeland. You know, when it's taught from this pulpit and in our Bible classes that we are to grow in Christ, there's a reason for that. The more that we grow and the more that we understand Christ, the more we can reflect Him to others. We can be stronger in our representation of the kingdom. As ambassadors, we are the presence of God among others. 2 Corinthians 14 and following says, "But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us reveals the fragrance of the knowledge of Him in every place." Now get this. "For we are the fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, an aroma from death to death. To the other, an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? For we are not like the many peddling the word of God, but as from sincerity, but as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God." When we are commanded to be salt and light, when we are commanded to have a presence among others for the Lord, we are being ambassadors. And this scripture tells us that our presence is going to cause one of two reactions. One is, I don't want to have anything to do with you because you're telling me what God wants and I don't want to do that. And what does that do? It leads to death. What's the other one? The other one is rescuing the perishing. That aroma is, hey, there's a fragrance here. There's something going on with this person in this church, and I want to cling to that. I want to have life. I want to be part of the kingdom. Ambassadors have a presence. I don't care what country they're representing to. You know, we have a pretty cozy relationship with England. They're called our closest friends. And so if you want to be the ambassador to the court of St. James, man, that's a pretty high honor. And you have a responsibility there. But if you're that ambassador or the ambassador to Micronesia, anybody know where Micronesia is? Way out in the Pacific. You know what their main product is that they produce? Neither do I. Okay? I don't know anything about them. But we have an ambassador to that area. And they have responsibilities that are just as important as what we have to England. We as ambassadors represent Christ to whoever will listen. We don't prejudge whether somebody is worthy of the kingdom. We don't prejudge whether, well, I can't get anything out of this person. There's nothing here for the kingdom. We represent because we want all men, just like our Savior, to come to Christ. The Bible presents multiple ideas for dealing with hostile and resistant nations. These emphasize faithfulness, persuasion, integrity, and reliance upon God, rather than coercion or violence. Ambassadors are messengers with a divine authority. Biblical ambassadors are often intermediaries sent by God or a king to convey messages of truth. They convey messages of reconciliation or sometimes messages of warning. Have you ever been in a situation where you've been able to try to present the gospel to somebody as a message of reconciliation? That's what our job is. You know, there are some that tell us, well, you got to preach the gospel hard. You got to stand up for the gospel. But we're supposed to preach the truth in love. And that's what ambassadors do. That will be more important. That will be more effective than just preaching it hard. I'm sure there are some hard cases out there that need it hard. Okay? But let's be kind and let's be able to provide that message with the authority of God in such a way that people understand that they can be reconciled. And let's use the warning as a, I'm trying to save your life here, not as something punitive. We understand that the authority of the one who sends us is what's more important. It makes our mission both spiritual and diplomatic. And when we approach hostile regimes, our role as ambassadors is to deliver the message faithfully without personally taking judgment into our own hands. See, we have a job to do. Our job is not to call down fire from heaven on somebody's head. Our job is to faithfully deliver the message. Now, there are times when we need to tell people you're headed toward destruction. But when we do that, we do it lovingly, and we do it in a way where they understand we have their best interests at heart. We use negotiation, diplomacy, and persuasion. Moses and Aaron stood before Pharaoh to illustrate the confrontation of an obstinate leader. Pharaoh was extremely obstinate. At first, all they did was they went in and said, hey, let our people go out in the desert for 3 days to worship. Pharaoh wouldn't allow that to happen. Did they get mad? Did they get Moses and Aaron? Did they get hostile? They showed the signs that God had given them. But it was Pharaoh's heart that turned hard. They used diplomacy and persuasion to try to get Pharaoh to let the people go worship. David's ambassadors to Hanan showed what miscommunication and suspicion can arise in certain governments. The responsibility of an ambassador is to remain respectful, truthful, even when misunderstood. David sent people to talk to the king of Ammon, whose father had died. And he was legitimately sending them to console. But Hanan's people were like, he's not sending them for that. He's sending them to be spies. Well, David's people were there legitimately doing the business that was sent, that they were sent for. But they were treated horribly. They had their beards cut. They had their clothes ripped. And they were totally embarrassed. And it ended up leading to war, unfortunately. Unfortunately for Ammon. Anyway, they did their jobs, though. They went and they represented. Again, they did not take any kind of punitive action. The Bible emphasizes building rapport and finding common ground where possible. Paul does this in Acts chapter 17, verses 23 through 28, when he's speaking to the Athenians. He walks around and he sees that idol that they have to the unknown God. And when he goes and preaches, he says, I want to tell you about who that unknown God is. And that opens the door for him to be able to build rapport and find common ground. Ambassadors in Christ need to be faithful witnesses amidst hostility. They often operate in hostile, dangerous, or indifferent environments, but remain steadfast. We can see this in a lot of different places. Genesis 19, 1 Kings 21. I can give you others. Elijah confronted King Ahab with the truth. And he did it with conviction while maintaining diplomacy and avoiding personal animosity. Ambassadors rely on God to fight battles on their behalf rather than resorting to force. Ambassadors avoid using coercion and violence. Unlike enforcers, biblical ambassadors work through persuasion, love, and example, rather than intimidation or compulsion. How'd it go for the Pharisees with Jesus when they tried to use tactics of testing him and pushing him and trying to make him look bad? It didn't go very well, did it? Jesus rebuked their teaching with the teachings of the kingdom, with the teachings of his Father. Now, there were a time or two where he had to call them out, called them vipers publicly to their face. But in that situation, he was trying to shake free others who would understand the kingdom. And he didn't have a personal animosity against Pharisees. John came in the middle of the night to talk to him. He would talk to any of them that would listen. But there were some who would not listen at all. Paul emphasizes conducting himself wisely towards outsiders with gracious and honest speech, according to Colossians 4, 5, and 6. He shows that influence is more spiritual and relational than political or military. Strategic use of relationships and influence is a huge part of the ambassador's life. We can see examples of this in Esther. Before King Xerxes. She used her quiet influence to change things for the Jewish people in the land. And she used strategic diplomacy, advocacy, and prudence under personal risk to advance her people. Nehemiah used his role as cupbearer to the king to be able to bring his people back to Jerusalem from captivity. And they built a wall and a temple and so on and so on. He used that role within his sphere of authority to achieve God-given goals, leveraging positions of trust without overstepping bounds. He continued to be faithful to Xerxes and to be faithful to his people. So there's some key principles that we need to understand as biblical ambassadors when facing hostile regimes. Number one, faithfulness. Represent the authority truthfully and consistently. Number two, integrity and humility. Avoid personal agendas. Act with selflessness. Number three, use persuasion over force. Influence hearts through love, wisdom, and example. Look at Jesus' model. Number four, prayer and divine dependence. Rely upon God for guidance, protection, and outcomes. Philippians 4:6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and pleading with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Number five, avoid political entanglement. Focus on God's mission rather than worldly power struggles. John 18:36 says, "Jesus answered, 'My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm.'" Number six, we need to focus on that strategic alliance and rapport. Build trust where possible and work within one sphere of authority. Number seven, we need to have a steadfastness in adversity. Stand firm under persecution or hostility. I want you to understand that you are not only an ambassador, but you are the embassy. You know, we come together to worship in this building. This building is a building. It's not an embassy. You're the embassy. If you went to our ambassadors today, they would say, "I'm the one who makes these decisions here. I'm responsible for everything that goes on in representing our country to whatever other country." They would be the embassy. So as part of that, Ephesians 5:1 says, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." You as the embassy, you as the ambassador, you walk according to God's ways, so that when people look at you, they know that you are a representative of God. Romans 12:1, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." Don't be conformed to this world. You know, if our ambassador went to Spain and decided to become a Spaniard, would he be representing the United States? Probably not. But if he goes and he remains American, but embraces our common good, our common ground, and is diplomatic, then he's still part of representing appropriately and doing reflecting our values. The other thing that I want to leave with you today as part of being an ambassador is the concept of overcoming evil with good. We sometimes think that the only way to overcome evil is to call out the 101st Airborne and drop paratroopers on somebody. That's not the best way sometimes. Sometimes it's more important to do things in a calmer, quieter fashion. And I'm going to tell you, as Christians, the only tool that we have is to overcome evil with good. Romans 12:17, never repay evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all people. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all people. Never take your own vengeance, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And that's probably one of the biggest challenges that we have as ambassadors. Is it tiring to see the evil in the world? Is it tiring to turn the news on and see some new heinous thing that's going on? A couple of weeks ago I was preaching and I said I was tired of seeing the Epstein stories. That doesn't mean that I think that justice is not something that needs to be done there. What it means is it's just demoralizing to see that somebody like that could get away with whatever he did. It's frustrating to me to see school shootings over and over and over again. It's frustrating to me to see the evil that man does. We can't get tired. Never grow tired in doing what is good. Be faithful ambassadors. Continue to hold out the gospel of Christ to others. If we're going to win the world, we're going to win them one person at a time. We're going to have those relationships. We're going to have those responsibilities to talk to them about the love of God, the great thing that He did by sending His Son to die on a cross, by raising Him up and giving Him power and making Him with all authority. Those are the things that we need to remember. We need to focus on our minds on the things of the kingdom, not on the things of this world. Biblical ambassadors deal with hostile regimes. They operate as agents of God's kingdom or His sovereign authority. They rely upon truth, integrity, relationship building, and divine guidance, rather than coercion, intimidation, and force. Their goal is reconciliation, persuasive communication, and faithful representation, trusting that God will intervene to achieve justice or protection where necessary. This model emphasizes moral courage, spiritual fidelity, and strategic wisdom as central to diplomatic engagement in a hostile context. What's that mean? Show your light. Be salt to the world. Be kind to others. And always hold forth the word of truth in such a way that people can tell that you care about them, that more importantly, that God cares about them, and that He wants all men to be saved. This morning, if you don't have that relationship, you got a whole bunch of ambassadors in this room who would love to pray with you and represent you to God. If you're not a Christian, you need to become one. It's so important that we trade in the things of this life for eternal life. It's so important that we have a desire to go see God. It's so important that you make things right with Him, because He's done everything He can to reconcile back to us. He offers His invitation. Please come while we stand and sing.